Shirley and Berman, May 1970. This is a new reel. Shirley and Berman, May 1970. Beginning of Channel One Right. Beginning of Channel One Right. I'm setting it up for Tuesday at supper, the 19th of May 1970. Tuesday at supper, the 19th of May 1970. Beginning of Channel One Right. Berman, his family is still going to school in Orlando. Another 2 weeks to go. Talk about his pets and then all his trades. Oh, he talked, that was poetry. He talked about that monkey and those pets. When we dropped by Sunday morning, I guess it was, just to look in on the family before Shirley and them went back to Orlando to school. And this is Channel One Right, beginning of a new reel, Shirley and Berman, May 1970. Beginning of Channel, this is Channel One Right.
I meant to tell you not to change your clothes.
Well, I've been out there feeding up my smelt like animals, so I thought I would change into something a little cleaner. Where's God feeding up?
No, He's around.
Well, I was hoping we'd get some rain.
He'd
do like me.
Well, up there.
You had to find something clean to go.
You see, I got a running start on you. Just barely got.
I feel guilty coming over here not bringing up.
What's that?
I'm going to, as soon as we get straightened out, I'm going to have y'all over for supper one of these nights.
Well, Faye hadn't been over there, but I've been over there a lot of times.
Well, we'll have you both over.
I'll tell you what, you don't have to do anything like that. All you have to do is I just fixing some more of those darn beans, and I thought, well, you fixing without Berman.
I ain't get lucky to find it.
Well, I wish we'd get a little bit of moisture out there in that ground. Rain.
I tell you what, even my pond's dried up out here.
We had a little shower when was Sunday night, late Sunday afternoon, but it didn't mount much. But we could have used a little rain. We had, I don't think, 1/8 of an inch, but it did a little bit of good.
There's a hoe kick.
Yeah, I'll get you.
They're trying to.
Now that may be too strong, Berman. I don't know.
Well,
it is just strong.
I drink about anything. Tea, coffee, anything.
Now you milk tonight?
Yeah, I done milk.
How's your cow, babe?
They're pretty good.
You have your calf half of it?
Well, it saves me that much work when I let him have it. I just turn him in there on a cow. I don't have to milk it out. I let him do his own milking.
You just get what you want.
Yeah. Let him do his own milk. I thought, do y'all use milk? Fresh milk?
Yeah, last night we didn't have any. We soured.
Anyway, yeah, I didn't know whether you use fresh milk or not. One time I took a half a gallon over to Mrs. Kent, and she said, I'm sorry. She said, I sure appreciate you bringing this over, but she said, I can't drink milk.
Oh, really?
And you're allergic to milk, so.
Well, that's unusual.
I told her, I said, well, and she said, it really upsets my stomach and everything when I drink it. Well, I told her.
You have to feed your cow when you're milking.
Yeah, I have to feed her, because I don't get nothing. If I didn't feed her, I wouldn't get no milk at all.
How much you feed her?
I feed her about a gallon of milking. Just about a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And then nighttime, I feed her about a gallon each time.
Now, I have no idea what you'd feed this time of year.
Now, I give her hay. Hay is just about as essential as feed is, even with plenty of green grass.
Oh, really?
So that brings your the quantity up.
Yeah.
And your feed hole makes the quality. But you got to have hay. Now, I cut her out of her hay there one time for about 3 or 4 days, and I milked, went almost in half. I got, she cut me down about half on milk, and then it took me about a week or so to build her back up again to about where she was at before.
And what does it do to
them? Mulch you, your, you get your, mulch your, the quality from the hay and the quantity, I mean the quantity from the hay and the quality from the feed. You use high protein feed and you get, that gives you your butter fat.
Well, now you don't use high protein feed this season of the year, do you? When you got grass?
No, I just use regular 16%.
That's your
16% dairy feed is all I use.
Yeah.
I can't get no 20% there in Orlando. I use 20%.
Yeah.
But I don't use 16. That's all I can get down here from Brownlee, so.
Well, you can put some more in.
But that's good enough. That old Holstein, she doesn't give as rich and yuck as Guernsey did.
It'd be right smart difference.
In cream it is.
You taste?
No, it don't taste no different. Just the cream is not as rich. And at Guernsey, I get almost twice as much cream on them yuck as that Holstein has. Holstein just don't have the rich and yuck.
No,
Holstein is known to have thin milk.
But a lot of it.
Yeah, they're good milkers.
Didn't know you had a Holstein.
Yeah, I raised her. Yeah, I bought her over at Windsor. And she's a little cape. I've had her now.
From there?
Yeah, I've had her about 6 years. It's the first time I milked her, though.
Oh, really?
I just let the cape run on her.
Well, how many milking cows do you have?
Three. I got two Guernseys. I got that one I bought there in Orlando. And then I got this one. One Guernsey I raised from a cave. And then this Holstein.
So all you got to do is sort of space them out so they'll freshen. How long can you milk them, Vernon, up until they...
Well...
After they freshen?
Some cows can milk longer than others. It all depends on if they're bred right back or how long when you breed them. It all depends on the cow. Some of them you might be able to milk for maybe a year. Some of them you might not milk for 6 months.
You mean... Oh, really? They're dry out?
Huh?
They just dry up?
Some of them will. They just get to the place where they don't give enough milk paper to feed, so you have to dry them up then.
Hmm. And they differ.
Cows are different.
Yeah.
And when they get to the place where they don't pay for the feed, best thing is to dry them up and put them out in pasture.
Yeah. Huh. Your labor is lost, isn't it?
Just wasting feed. Cost around... Dairies figure it costs around 50 cents a day for cow feed for one cow.
That much?
So dairies feed them heavy.
Oh, yeah.
They don't feed them like I do.
Yeah.
Because I can get a bag of feed and make it last me a week.
Yeah.
Well, naturally, that's about 50 cents a day. Because you figure a bag of feed cost me $4.45.
That's right,
Brian. Yeah, better than 50 cents a day.
Yeah. And so, then your hay.
Then you got your hay. I give her about a fourth of a bale of hay every day.
That much?
Wouldn't hurt if I gave her more. But I don't need the milk, so I don't use me feeding her anymore.
So you take some more.
Hmm?
But it wouldn't pay you just to go ahead and feed her as much as she'd take and have the extra milk. Then you just gotta dispose of it.
I just have an ice box full of sour milk. we've called ourselves many times around about 6 or 7 gallons of milk in the refrigerator.
That much?
Yeah.
Well, 6 or 7 quarts would be a whole lot.
but when they're getting about 4 gallons a day, it's not very hard to find yourself about 6 or 7 gallon of milk in the refrigerator.
Well, what do you put the milk in?
Jars.
Gallon jar?
No. I tell you what I use is these 2-quart jars, like fruit juice comes in.
Yeah.
And how big necks come about like that?
Yeah.
I put them right in there.
Oh, I had big necks on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's easy to strain in those jars. Now, it's easy to store in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Jars have a lot of washing.
Beg pardon?
You have to wash those jars.
Oh, yeah, you got to wash them
and
good. You got to wash them jars. That's one thing you got to do is wash them.
With hot water.
With good soap water. I don't always use hot water. I mean, I have good soap and clean water. That's just essentially with hot water.
Well, I always thought that water had to be practically boiled.
It should be. Because you leave in that milk in there to ruin the next milk.
Well, now, what else did you have to... did you feed your cats?
Yeah. I took care of them. Guinea pigs.
The guinea pig eat with a cat?
No. They eat by themselves. Chickens. Dog.
But the monkey eats with a cat.
No, he's shut up in his cage. That's one thing I wish I never had, was a monkey. If you want a pain in the neck, just turn him loose in your house.
Well, what'd he do?
Well, you'll find out real quick. You'll wonder what he can't do.
Oh, really?
He got 2 hands and he keeps them busy. He's worse than a dozen coons.
Oh.
He's into everything. He's got to turn everything upside down.
You mean he's actually destructive?
That's just about the best way to put it, I guess.
Well, he stays in your house all the time.
In that cage, he's in that house.
Oh, you don't let him out in the house loose?
Boy, I'll get the broom after him.
If he gets loose?
He's scared of the broom. If you show him that broom, if he gets in that, sneaks in, someone leaves the door open, if he sneaks in, you show him that broom, boy, he makes a beeline that door. He don't like the broom.
Where's he supposed to stay?
In his cage or outside?
In his cage inside?
The guy's sitting there on the porch. If he's, you would surely put him in his cage at nighttime and put him outside and turn him loose outside in the daytime.
Oh. And he won't get
away. That's the dirtiest thing I don't want ever. When I told Jerry, I said, I never want another monkey. I don't care who gives him, where he comes from, anything. I don't want no more monkeys.
Well, has he broken up things?
Yeah, if you leave anything on the table, he'll pick it up. He'll drop it right where he gets through looking at it. Eggs or anything. He'll get into a dozen eggs and he'll bust every darn one of them. He'll take them and throw them out on the floor. He'll pick them up like this and throw them like they're throwing a volleyball. Throw every one of them out on the floor and watch them bust, just for the heck of it. Well, destructive. They're worse than a darn coon. A coon will try to eat what he gets hold of, but not that. He even knows this thing you ever saw.
And just tosses them out on the floor.
If you don't watch him, he'll get in a sugar bowl. He'll get in everything he can. Pots and pans, he'll turn them upside down, throw them on the floor. Get up on the refrigerator and tear everything off of it. Push everything off on the floor. That's a darn, I never went on my case.
Just push stuff off, just leave them right on.
And he can't touch nothing without tearing something up. He'll tear the curtains off the wall, swinging on them.
Well, you'd have to have a monkey curtain, wouldn't you?
I'll tell you what, you get a monkey, you find out. You'll find out they want to stay in the house. They don't give a damn about the trees. You know, that's the way that monkey is we got. He don't give a hoot about them trees out there.
Yeah.
He hangs around that back door waiting for someone to leave it open.
Yeah, well, don't you know, the other day when we was out there, he's up there on the electric wire, and I judge from what you're saying now, you were sort of in hopes in your next year.
It wouldn't bother me. It wouldn't bother me a bit.
But he just perfect ease up there, wasn't he? That long tail?
Now he goes through everything.
And if he got a hold of both of those caps at the same time,
and I sit there and clap.
That would be about all he could stand.
I imagine so. I imagine he'd get a hold of something he couldn't turn loose.
Yeah. Well, now Johnny said he just got right down there with the cats and dogs and.
Yeah, when he's loose.
Drank milk.
Yeah, if he's loose, he could. Mm-hmm. He's in his cage over there now. I told Sherry to put him in that cage, I'd kill him. Boy, one day he made me so mad, I never felt like killing him so much in my life as I did that day. We put him outside. When the kids got through eating, when they got through eating dinner, they ran out somewhere outside to play. Left the door. Next thing you know, all the flop, flop, right up in the middle of the table. God darn monkey, here I was eating, right up in the middle of the table. And he reached over, grabbed stuff off your plate. He don't give a hoot whose plate it is. And he'll get right in the middle of your plate and eat. He'll stand right in the middle of the plate. Boy, I took my hand, I hauled off and swatted that monkey, knocked him plumb across the room. Shirley hollered, "You'll kill him." I said, "That's good enough for him." I don't care if I do kill him.
But he don't like the broom.
Now, he didn't like my hand either that time, either.
Yeah.
I hit that monkey, and I mean I hit him. I swatted him, knocked him plumb across that room. He went a-sailing like a ball. And I didn't care. Boy, that made me mad when he jumped up there and started pulling the food out of my plate. He was helping himself.
Well, Bevan, he didn't seem to be particularly afraid of you.
No.
He's not
afraid of me. He'll crawl on my shoulder and everything. As long as he stays outside and behaves himself, he's all right.
You don't bother him, he don't bother you.
Yeah, that's the best way. We got a peace treaty there.
Well, how does your... Let me see. I didn't realize you all had so many pets.
No, they're pests.
Now, what good does that guinea pig do?
Helps pull down your bank account.
Well, what does the guinea pig? What good is? Whose is he?
Shirley's and the kids. He ain't mine.
He belongs to the family.
Well, it belongs to them, not me, because I don't claim.
I saw him playing with it one time over there. It looks like all he does is sort of scoot in and hide in your shirt tail.
We got seven over there.
Johnny? Seven guinea pigs?
Yeah. See, I had to feed them before I come over. I'd give them fresh water and feed them. Got them in three different cages.
Why three cages?
Well, they'll fight.
Think about being
new, I'm sorry. I told you, I said, when we get moved, I said, every one of them things is going to stay right here where they at.
Well, that's an idea. Turn your old house
into a museum.
Yeah. Menagerie. What did they used to call a menagerie? I always thought of a menagerie as a tent. But a lot of animals in it. I think it's an older word than I really know.
I don't know. We've got two or three of everything.
Well, what is the advantage of having all those? What are they going to do with all those guinea pigs? Sell them?
No, they sell them here and there.
Well, do they?
I sold one last week.
Oh, really?
You know, a lot of people like some pets, you know.
Well, that's what you got them for.
Not me, that's what they got them for.
Well, I didn't kill them.
I'd be sure to like them as well as the children.
More.
Does she like them?
Yeah, oh yeah. If she didn't like them, she wouldn't have them.
Would she admit that?
I don't think she would.
I never heard any of them yet. It's just to for this, you know, this trip.
Now we got them two darn pigeons over there.
Pigeons.
We need them too, you know. Pigeons.
Why do you keep them?
In another cage.
Will they stay in the same cage?
They have to, because I don't let them out.
Oh, shoot.
See, that's why I spend 2 hours in the afternoon. Go around and see if they're still breathing.
Well, you couldn't get a transfer, Brummy.
No, they'd all die. Can't transfer the caretaker.
You know, a person really gets the wrong idea, can't he?
Yeah, maybe I got the wrong idea. I don't know.
I don't want you got to try to live over there or take out of the place. That you all would just be free as a lark.
Free. The animals are free, not me. I'm tied down to them.
But you couldn't hardly get anyone who'd take
it. It'd have to be crazy if they took care of them things.
How many ducks have you got?
One.
You can leave. Well, now that just shows you how far off a fella could be. Because I just pictured, you see, I didn't think I'd ever see you all again.
We can't leave because we have no other place to take the pets. They'd run us out of Orange County if we took them all down there. People would petition us and have us sit back here.
I tell you what, I had a cat one time. They just made a slave of me. You know, you get so you can read their minds, and you know they don't have to say a word.
No, they don't. Just meow one time.
And you know that you got to get up and do something.
I'd like to do what I feel like doing when I give at night time, but Shirley won't let me. I like killing.
What else you got?
Oh, God.
Parrot?
No, got that turkey. Mr. Smith brings that turkey over there for us to eat for dinner for Christmas. And I told him, I said, you made a mistake and you brought that thing over here. That thing might eat Christmas, but we won't get to eat him. He'll eat, though. He didn't know it, but he saved that turkey's life and he brought him to my place. And I told him what he should have done was brought him over without his head on.
He wasn't helping anybody much out, was he?
He sure didn't help me none.
Well,
he doesn't know it, but he brought some work over for me.
Did turkey make work?
Gobble, 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 gobble. Always walk around there and strut.
Talk all the time.
Strut.
Oh, shoot.
Where does he stay? With the chickens?
Yeah. I don't need him on the back step roosting out there like that darn duck. Every day I got a job of washing the steps off. Darn duck.
I forgot the duck. Somebody was chunking that duck the other day. What was it? The duck was getting wet, and then he's getting in the sand and getting nasty. Oh, yes, he was talking about what a filthy duck he was.
Yeah, he was. He's a DD duck. Yeah, dirty duck.
Well, that's right. He gonna get in that water if there's any water to get in.
Then he likes to get underneath the car.
Oh.
Walk underneath that old greasy motor, you know. Him being white, that makes him real pretty, you know.
Yeah.
He's got black grease on his back. Then get out there and get a little dirt in it, and then get out there and crawl in the car again.
Yeah. Well, the children pretty good about taking care of the...
They have to, because when they're there, I won't mess with them.
Oh.
But if we got them, I'm not going to let them starve. I'll go out there and chop the head off or get rid of them or something like that, but I'm not going to starve them to death.
Yeah.
I'm going to feed them. Like that cat and dog day, I had to get some dog food and cat food today. Pain in the neck. 5 kittens and 1 old cat. Next thing you know, they'll all be coming up to the house, wanting in the back door.
They're not in the house now?
Not yet. They're still down in the barn. You don't need some, do you?
Thank you, no. Not any guinea pigs either.
You know, I hate to put a cold. Like that, but I'm the cat exterminator. Face people.
I am
don't
too.
Like
my uncle. I remember here. It'd been it's over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Before I went back to service, it'd been 23 years ago. And I went over there to stay with him.
We're getting short of.
No, that's all right.
Bread.
And
I'm eating some.
His wife was a cat lover.
I have some more in there. Here,
and he didn't care 2 cents about all the cats in Florida. And I wouldn't have gave you a nickel for all of them. And she had, I think it was 15 or 16 cats. Grown cats, not kittens. These are grown cats.
Yeah.
And the minute he left the place, she opened the door and had all of them in the house. And sometimes he'd come home and inspect it and hear every one of them. It'd have my chair occupied, or the couch, or it'd be in the middle of the bed. And he hated them cats with a passion. And one day, she was gone somewhere. I don't know where she's gone, but she wasn't there. And she had one favorite cat, an old brindle cat. And them old cats, she had a, right there at the kitchen window. It was sort of low there, and she'd open the window, and the old cats would jump in one at a time, like sheep jumping over a fence. And, he'd run them out one door, and she'd open the kitchen screen, and they'd all jump in again. She'd be letting them out, run them out one door, and she'd be letting them back in the kitchen window. And one day, he called her gone, and him and I was going out to Bethlow. That's about 15 miles. He said, Bud, he said, sneak out there in the barn and get one of them burlap bags. All the cats was in the house at that time. He said, we're going to do something. And so, we started to catch them. First one he caught was that old brindle cat, that one that he hated the most.
Yeah.
That's the one every time he came in the house, that was right in the middle of his bed. And he didn't like that cat. So we filled up that darn sack full of cats. Them cats were fighting in that sack. And we tied a string around it. We had 2 or 3 bags full of them, man. We threw them in the back of the truck.
Well, I was thinking one sack.
Well, I guess
15 cats.
I guess you could scorch them down. But we hauled them cats off. And when his wife came home, she got home before he did. Or rather, we did. I was staying with him.
Yeah, I'd hate to witness
that. And she met us at the back door. Corbett, what did you do with my cats? He looked me a honey pie. He said, I don't know anything about your cats. He never did own up to it.
Oh, he never did?
No.
Well, you know he couldn't keep a straight face.
You don't know him. He kept one though.
He'd have to, wouldn't he?
He never did own up to it. Boy. Boy, she was mad about that though. She knew good and well. She knew good and well he.
Oh, I thought I was going to leave it.
Looks like I'm getting bad as my animals. He knew he did something to them cats.
Oh, that would be terrible if I'm going to have 15.
Hmm?
That'd be terrible to have 15.
Oh, God. Ones I can't stand.
I don't care for cats.
I don't care about any of them. I don't like animals in the house, period.
No, I don't either.
I don't like cats, dogs, or nothing in the house.
But you got them.
We got them.
3 cages of them.
Well, I never thought particularly. I always thought the animals liked it better outdoors. Of course, I mean dogs and cats.
Well, that's why I told you. I said I don't like to have animals and keep them shut up in a little cage all their life. I said that's just like being in prison. I said, we got that one little squirrel there.
Oh, you got a squirrel?
Yeah, a little flying squirrel.
Flying squirrel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got them right around here, but you don't see them.
Yeah.
They only come out after dark. And so, I said, we should keep them things shut up. And I said, they should be out free. They weren't made to shut up. Well, I can't convince her.
Well, how is your little flying squirrel? They're pretty.
Yeah, we had two of them. And one day we went to a movie and came back. And the cage was out there in the shed on the stool or something like that. And it had a hard wind that blew it off the stool. And the door was open and both of them was gone. And I caught one of them, but I never did find the other one. They're real tame. You can get one that's grown and tame him in 5 minutes almost.
Oh,
they're not like a gray squirrel.
Yeah.
You can tame them. I caught a grown one here a few years ago. And he tamed right up. But and them cats are bringing them in all the time to the back door out there. Here, well, one of the cats that got died. I don't know what happened to him, but. They used to bring them in all the time outside the door. They'd eat them. Eating them, those little flying squirrels.
Oh, really?
They're not much bigger than a mouse, you know.
I didn't realize that.
They don't about that long.
Yeah.
But a gray squirrel, they're difficult to tame, aren't they?
Boy, they can bite the party.
Even after you think they're tame.
Well, we had one. And the kid got a, what kind of nut was that? A tongue oil nut. Fed him that tongue all nut and it killed him. But we had that squirrel, I think we'd had him about 3 years. And Shirley caught him over Island Grove when he was just a little baby. He didn't even have his eyes open. Didn't even have no fur on him when she got him. She found him laying on the ground underneath an oak tree.
Yeah.
And she brought him home and fed him an eyedropper.
Yeah.
And she raised that squirrel. I didn't think he'd live.
Yeah.
But she raised him and he's a regular pet. But if you'd ever turned him out, he'd be gone out in there, would.
Mm-hmm.
But when the kids found that tongue oil nut, they started to eat the thing. When the kids did, and they said, well, since they only got one nut, they're about that big around, you know. And I thought, well, they'd bring it home, give it a squirrel. And they brought it to the squirrel, didn't kill him. Tongue oil nut, deadly poison. I didn't know why, you know what it was. I got it over here at Lady Lake. We stopped over at Lady Lake, on the outside of Ocala. We had some little old park over the side of the road, and they got some tongue oil nuts. Trees in the park there.
Well, will they kill humans?
Oh, yeah, they're deadly poison.
The only thing, humans wouldn't eat them.
They're good. They got a sweet taste to them, and they look more like a chestnut.
It's a good thing the children didn't eat them.
Here, a few years back, about the time we moved down here, some hobos was coming, I don't know, they came from out of state and came up here. Somewhere over here on the other side of Williston. They got that tongue nut grove over there. And they got over there and ate some tongue nuts and killed, I think, two of them. Another one, he almost died. They got him in the hospital and pumped some of them. By the time they got him, they had two of them was already dead.
You read that in the paper?
Mm-hmm. It was on the radio.
Was it? Well, you've learned a lot from those pets, I imagine.
I didn't ever know what a tongue nut oil, tongue nut is. You know, they use that in varnish.
Yeah.
They use tongue nut oil in varnish.
Well, when I first came down here, I'd go out to Newberry Road, and they had those old tongue grooves. You see,
yeah.
They were run down there. No one took care of them.
Well, see, that's what it is.
And all I remember about them was the flowers. They had those beautiful flowers. They looked sort of oriental. And the nut part of it, I have no recollection.
Well, they claim, I never ate, tasted one of them. But they claim they have a real good taste to them. But they fed that nut to the squirrel, and it killed him. They're deadly poison. But they should have a sign or something on those trees down there, because people, the northern people, don't know what it is. I raised here in the south, and I didn't even know what it was.
No.
They're pretty, real pretty trees.
That's the first I ever heard about.
And that there's one nut laying on the ground. If it had been more than that, I imagine the kids would ate some of them. And I probably wouldn't have said nothing. I'd probably ate one too.
Sure.
Just see what it was.
Just to try it out.
And one of them has quite a bit of meat in it.
As I remember, they look a little bit like a chestnut.
Yeah, they do. They look a little bit like a chestnut.
What is that good for? Mr. Stan Hutchall was here the other day, and he had a whole bunch of them in the back of his car.
What are they good for?
Yeah.
Put little nuts and screws in, something like
that. Well, I don't have any nuts and screws.
That's what was in them before, the screws. That's what it says on the end.
Hello? Yeah.
One quarter. Shirley, right before I came over here, says she's moving back down and everything, and she put the trailer up for sale, and
yeah.
She got a lady there. It was there when I called her. I had to wait until 7 o'clock so I can get, so you can get the special rating.
Yeah.
And I called her, and
it's sort of it's soft.
So she said the lady was there then. She wants a trailer, and so I guess we'll come out pretty good on there after all. She's asking $200 more for it than what we paid for it, and the lady doesn't want the furniture at all. She wants us to keep the furniture. So I told her, I said, well, we'll just keep the furniture and bring it up here. Do something with it. It doesn't make beds for the cats and dogs.
She got her own furniture and hadn't got any place for it.
I mean, she wanted to use her own furniture.
That's
so, good case.
Well, you got a place for it over there.
Yeah, we got plenty of room for it.
Oh, gosh, some of those fellas have room.
Oh, they have nice furniture. Especially that couch. They have a big sofa bed there in the trailer. And about a $200 sofa bed.
Yeah.
It's a nice trailer, a nice couch.
Berman surely thinks you can pick up any trade. And you picked up a lot of them, haven't you?
Well,
I was thinking over there on that house.
I had a captain one time told me when I was in the Marine Corps. Oh, that's been 20-some years ago. He told me I was jackleg of all trades and mastering. But I was only 18 then. Jack of all trades, master of none.
Well, now I remember that tile work over there. You had the man from Hawthorne out there put a set of tile. And, well, I guess like most of these fellas, they hit a lick and then stay away
from it. Well, I'll tell you frankly, just the way I've always done, every time I come around and want to do something, I've never been able to hire it done. So I always figured, well, what I'll do, I'll go somewhere where they're doing that kind of work and watch them a little while. That's what I've always done. And then come back and try it.
Yeah.
I figure you can never learn unless you try. You gotta try first before you learn anything. And
well, over there on that house, there's so many things that you hadn't done before.
Well, not very many. The only thing I hadn't ever done before was that tile work.
Well, now how'd you do that?
Well,
you just watched him.
I watched him, and I ran around and questioned some of these tile layers and everything. I'd go around to some of these jobs here in town and watch them. They don't mind you watching them. I'd go right there where they're building these houses and stuff. Go in there and watch them a little bit.
They'd tell you anything they know, wouldn't they?
Yeah, go in there and ask them. If I don't understand, I'd go in there and ask them.
You know, I hadn't thought about that.
That's what I always do. I always, like, see, this is a brick house, oak floor and everything and that I'm putting in it. And I go over there and look around Gainesville and I'll find someone building a house very similar to what I'm doing here. I'll go over there and watch them a little bit.
Well, what did you need to know about the tile?
Well, I didn't know anything about it to start with. Like I never had even seen one lay it before. And I got this guy out here. Well, I was going to put it right on the sheetrock. Well, I found out from Simmons here in Gainesville that was a mistake. You want to put it on stucco. Tile on stucco. It's all right to use a sheetrock for a backup board, but you want to put it on stucco. So it'll peel off that paper, but not off the stucco.
Yeah.
So what we did, I went on in the bathroom and put sheetrock on the walls. Then I put my plaster wire on the sheetrock. You know this plaster wire had little small holes in it.
Yeah.
Well, we nailed that all over it, and I had Simmons to plaster it. I mean, stucco it. I stuccoed that whole wall, everything to the ceiling. And then, when it got through, I still never laid no tile. So, Fowler said he'd laid tile before. He said he could do it.
Fowler?
Yeah. Oh, I'd be plenty. Don't give me no more. I'd be plenty. Boy, I really enjoy that cake, though. I'd rather have one of these cakes, I think, than any cake is. I like some of these cakes are dry, and I don't like a dry cake. But he came over there, and he worked one day. He laid a little spot in the corner.
Yeah.
You start it from the ceiling, and you come down. You start the ceiling and come down with it. Well, he got messing, measuring around there and laying out the room. I watched him. He worked there all day. You got to take your level and lay out your lines all around the room on a level. Then lay your corners out. Run your line over. Lay your corners out. One square. One nose tile. With one nose tile. All the way down. Lay your line out. Mark it. All the way down the floor. Because if you get your first line straight, you get the rest of them straight. You get your first line crooked, you get them all crooked. So you got to make sure your line's straight. Straight and level. So he started out and he did one little corner over there. Started at the top, went over. I don't think he went over about 3 feet. Then the next day he wasn't out the next day. So finally I called him, see what was wrong. Here he was, he's over there building a house. He never show up.
Yeah.
Heck, I was paying him. I think I was giving him $4 an hour.
Damn.
And he didn't show up. So I said, well, by golly, I believe I can do it. So I told Shirley I was going to do it. Boy, I almost had a fight on my hands when I told her that.
Oh, she wasn't going to have her
tile
messed up.
She didn't want me to do it. I know. So, in fact, she got mad. That was one time she got mad. I'm determined I'm going to do it. So she came, I went ahead and started. Well, I knew darn well I could keep it on the line. And I knew I could level it. So it wasn't a little bit later here she came. She said, "You go ahead and do that bathroom and I'll do this one in here." Well, I knew darn well she didn't know what she was going to do. She didn't know where to start. She didn't know how to start it. She didn't know how to mix up the cement. She didn't know how to lay it or nothing. And I asked her not to do it. I said, "Don't go in there and mess that bathroom up." She's going to go ahead and do the boys' bathroom, and I was going to do that. And she went in there, and she took a box of that blue tile. I knew darn well she was going to mess it up, but she was mad, and I saw right there, well, I know you and me talking to her. I would let her go ahead and do what she wanted to do. So I let her go in there, and she said, "We'll get through this in a hurry." And boy, she was mad. But I went ahead, done a little bit, and by an hour later I went in there, and boy, she didn't have a mess on that wall. I didn't want to wait over an hour because I knew good and well that cement would dry. It's quick setting cement. And I'd have a time getting that stuff off the wall.
Yeah.
So she went in there and started right in the middle of the wall, right in the center. She didn't know which way she was going. Nothing was level, nothing was straight. Just sticking it on the wall, and she'd put almost two boxes of tile on that wall. And by that time, she'd cooled off some. And then she started admitting she made a mistake, and that she didn't think it was going to turn out very good. I told her no. I said, "I don't think it's going to turn out either." So she went on the house, and I spent nearly a whole day taking all that tile off the wall before it set and cleaned it. I had to clean the back of that, all that tile,
yeah,
so I could use it again. I had to clean that stuff off. But I went ahead and done it, and poured all the floors and tiled them.
Yeah.
And then when I got through, she said, "Well," she said, "I didn't think you could do it, but it does look pretty good," she said.
Well, I'd say if you could do that, you could do about any of it. I don't know.
What?
At $4 an hour, it'd be worth learning, wouldn't it?
Now, I got one more argument coming up. That comes with the kitchen cabinets. She doesn't want me to do the kitchen cabinet. She wants a cabinet maker out there. Now, I done told her I'm going to do the cabinet.
So there's a lot to build in a house, isn't it, Merman?
Yes, a lot besides building it, huh?
Yes.
A lot to put up with while you're building it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. Faye, put just a little water on.
All right.
I seem to need a little beverage.
She hasn't said no more about them bathrooms, though.
Well, I just want you to go ahead and get in that place. I know you all want to, too.
I'm going to borrow some of your water over here.
There's plenty of it. Right in here, Berman.
Okay.
Get him, Rich. Here it is.
But I just telling Faye, we got this trailer sold now. I that's why I was a little late getting over here.
Because
I wanted to call Shirley. And she wanted me to call her after 7 o'clock. And when I called her, the lady was still there. There wasn't a trailer. This lady and her mother. I think that's the way it was. And we're selling the trailer. And then we're getting to keep the furniture. The only thing we don't keep is the refrigerator and stove.
Yeah.
And but the beds and the couch and the chairs and everything else, they don't want them. They want us to keep them. And then I like that couch you got down there. It opens up in the bed. It's a real nice couch. It must have cost a couple hundred dollars anyhow, that couch did.
Oh, really? You mean, is that nice?
Yeah, it's one of these. It's a great big couch. It's colonial style. And
Now, that swimming pool was all new to you.
Yeah, well,
You had to start from the beginning on that.
Well, I never did look at no swimming pool nowhere, but I had an idea what I had to do anyhow.
Well, what was your idea?
Well, I knew I had to have a hole in the ground. Unless I wanted to climb up to the pool and jump in.
Well, it could have been the wrong sort of hole.
Well,
now this solid trench out there that Buck Johnson dug for me, you'd think to hold the ground would be a simple thing, but he started at the wrong end, you see.
Well, that can be bad.
he's supposed to start from the slope, and he started from the solid ground, and that meant, you see, yeah.
Well, when I started digging that hole, see, I used that black back blade on the tractor to dig it with. Well, it didn't take me long to dig it, because I don't think I spent about 5 or 6 hours digging that hole. It didn't take me long. And
digging that swimming pool?
Yeah. It didn't take me long, because that blade, I can move about a half a yard of dirt out at a time, and I can move it pretty fast with that tractor.
Yeah.
And it didn't take me long. I think I dug it in a little over half a day.
And then put it out in front of the house?
No, I dug it and pulled it all back out. And then after I got the pool built, then I pushed it all back in around the pool.
Oh, and built it up?
Yeah.
Oh, you just had it mound all around you then?
Yeah, well, I didn't mound too much on the side next to that warshed because it's pretty level there. See, I pushed it around the other side where the slope was.
Yeah.
And a lot of it I left around there. Some of that dirt I pulled out in front of the house is the dirt that came out in the swimming pool. That's where some of that dirt came from, but not much of it, because I got quite a bit of dirt out there in front of that house. It don't look like it, but I must have 200 or 300 yards of dirt out there in front of that house.
Mm-hmm.
But that pool, see, when I started, the only thing that I decided on was the length and the width of the pool. I wasn't too particular about the slope of the pool, but I knew I wanted it around 4 feet on the shallow end and about 6 feet on the deep end. And let the slope take care of itself. Whatever the slope was, take it. So the only thing I did, like this was a pool. See, the pool is shaped about like this. It's 16 feet wide and 36 feet long. So I went ahead and I started digging the dirt out. Dropped my blade back in and dig out. And when I got it down about 6 feet deep, I think I went down about 6.5 because I got about 4 or 5 inches concrete in the bottom of it. Around the side here is around about 8 inches thick where the blocks sit. And main thing I wanted, I had to keep this level and this level, because you had to slope this way. Slope from 4 to 6 feet. But this was level and this was level here. So when I got through, got it where it looked like about right, I went down there and drove my stakes down here, 4 stakes in. Then I squared it by measuring from kitty corner across. I squared it that way. And then I got my nylon line. I have a good nylon line you can draw real tight without breaking. And then I put my line levels on the line. And then I kept on, which I suppose was up too high, I'd keep driving it down to my line level, said I was level, and I did the same on both ends. But I had to pull them up one time because I didn't have enough dirt out one side, so I had to get the right amount of dirt out. Then after I got them up, then I ran me a line from the top to the bottom. And then I put my form board into my line. I put my form... I might drink a cup full. I put my form boards up to my line then. And then that's when I poured my semen. I think I used a couple 5/8 rods
that's
in
not,
that.
Oh,
form.
Not quite enough. Yeah, that's enough.
But see, where I ran into a lot of work, though, was bringing those blocks up that slope.
Yeah.
I had to keep those blocks level as I went up the slope. And I had to make fill. I had to fill in with whatever I could get. Now, on my first row there, I had used one full block on the back end. Well, that was all right. But then when I started coming up the slope on each side, I took my masonry saw and had to saw some off the blocks to keep the blocks on the line. And then after I get up so far, then I'd use a half block. And then maybe I'd use fill in with some bricks. Then I start my next row. Keep it on the line. And finally, after I got down to the corners up here, to the high end of the pool, I was all right then. And then I could go on around. But then after I got one block from the top in the pool, to make sure that I was right, even the level wouldn't tell you within too good. So I went ahead and filled it up with water and make sure that my level was right. And my level was off a little bit. And I was off about an inch. One corner was the corner next to the highway was inch lower in the back corner. And it would show up when after it got full of water. Just looking at it when it's empty, it looked all right. But if you fill it up with water, it'd show up. So what I did, I marked that then, where my water level was on every corner. And then whenever I came back, my next row of blocks, then I mortared those blocks up that much. I put my next back row of blocks right down on the back blocks, and raised these here almost an inch up above the next row of blocks. And then when I got to the top, now when I fill it up with water, the water mark is, when it hits that brick bed, it has one row of bricks on the top. When it comes to the brick bed, it's right on the brick all the way around.
Yeah.
But I didn't want the thing lopsided after I filled it up with water. I didn't want the thing to be 2 inches low in one corner. Because anything, I'd look worse than anything if I had the thing 2 inches low and have the thing running over in one corner and about 2 or 3 inches down in the next corner.
Even though it held water,
I didn't want it looking that way. I'd rather not have the pool there.
Yeah.
But I told Shirley quite a few times that I was wish I'd never started that pool, that I'd went ahead and finished the house first and then worried about the pool.
No, you couldn't do that, Brian.
Well, she said, the kids get a lot of enjoyment out. I said, they could get a lot of more enjoyment out of living in the house.
Yeah, but they don't have that all that roughing up they can do out there in that pool.
But
you would have spent all that. You would have had to take them off to Daytona Beach or somewhere, you see.
Well, that pool cost me, I don't remember exactly what that cost. I never did keep tab of what that thing cost me, but I'm imagining I got $700 or $800 in it. And I did the work. I got a lot more in it, it looks like. And I still haven't got no good pump for it yet. I got a good filter, but I haven't got a good pump. I got a filter. I think a filter that pool cost $127, I think it was. No, it was $150 that filter cost. Now I got a pump, but the pump I got doesn't pump enough water. Circulate the water in the pool through the filter. So I got to get another pump. And then you gotta keep your chemicals and stuff in there to keep the water pure. If you don't keep your chemicals in there, your water will get muddy looking and no moss will start growing on the side and everything. Boy, that's hot. That'll burn the hairs on your tongue.
Well, now, how much cooperation do you get out of your children? Do they do anything?
Yeah, they brought me a drink of water once in a while. And sit back there underneath this shade tree and tell me what to do. That's not the biggest work I got out of him. I'd have to keep pushing Johnny to keep him helping me. I'd had him carrying blocks. I'd make them all. I'd be down the hole carrying. I said, all right, every one of you carry one block apiece. And they'd struggle around there with the block. Well, I did the same thing when I built that cesspool. I dug that out with a tractor. And I built that cesspool around there. It cost me about $100, I guess, in that cesspool. Maybe $120, I guess, I got in that cesspool. About a 750-gallon pool, cesspool. And they want about $300 for them if they come out and set them in for you.
Yeah, that's costly. But they do it in a little no time.
Yeah, they do it in a day.
That's one of the beauties of it.
Yeah, having them come out and do it, and they do it and get it over with.
Uh-huh.
Like me, I'd go out there and work one afternoon on it, and then I probably couldn't work on it again for maybe another week, and then I'd get back out there and sit there around about an hour or two, get myself back together again, getting organized and looking around for my tools and everything. And then by the time I get started again, it's already time to quit. Look around for my hammer and everything. Kids carries my tools off. Have to look for them. But
I remember one thing. You were buying your electrical fixtures or equipment, and you found out Sears was a standard place to buy that stuff.
No.
And you found out, what was that? You found out that that new place,
where I bought nearly all my stuff was over at Home Building Supply.
That's it.
Scotty's.
Yeah, Scotty's.
In fact, their prices was about one-third what Sears went.
But you found that out.
Yeah, I found that out. When I was building the house, Scotty's wasn't there then.
Yeah.
And I bought nearly all my lumber, nearly everything, from McCoy. Now, if Home Building Supply had been out there, I could have saved almost 20% on my lumber.
Yeah.
And I use a lot of lumber now. I don't know. I use around 20 or 30,000 feet of lumber in that house.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You start figuring up those 2x8 and 2x10 floor joists.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, it don't take long to figure up 1,000 feet in them. You see all those rafters and seals and stuff in there, that subfloor in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got almost 3,000 feet of lumber just in the subfloor. Yeah.